Hello and welcome. My name is Dean Rothbart, and I'm the managing editor of Bank on Yourself Nation, a powerful new online resource for anyone who desires financial and lifestyle success using proven, safe, time-tested methods. I'll have more to say about Bank on Yourself Nation at the end of this teleconference and details about how you can become a charter subscriber. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce Pamela Yellen, who many hundreds of thousands of families have come to regard as the rock to turn to during any financial storm. And we've had plenty of financial storms lately. Pamela is a globally recognized financial security expert, helping individuals and families protect and grow their wealth without the risks or volatility that batters so many individual investors. Many of you know Pamela as the founder and president of Bank on Yourself. She is also a best-selling author, popular personal finance columnist, and trusted consultant to some of America's most successful financial advisors. Pamela is joining us today to share her perspective on the unprecedented events of the past several weeks, among them the debt ceiling debate and agreement, the S&P's downgrade of America's AAA bond rating, and Wall Street's latest free fall, bounce, etc. Welcome, Pamela.
Thanks, Dean. And these indeed have been some turbulent weeks for our country and for families and businesses. And I have been swamped with questions from hardworking folks who are both scared and angry about recent events. So really, this teleconference is a very timely opportunity to address some very important issues.
You know, even those investors, Pamela, with cast iron stomachs have to be feeling more than a little bit queasy following the wild ride of Wall Street over the past month and this week alone. So let's begin there. If you're in the stock market currently and your portfolio has suffered large losses recently, should you get out? And if you should, should you at least wait until the market rebounds to recapture some of your money before exiting?
Great questions. And my position on this is really consistent in both bull and bear markets. I just don't believe that most people are wise to bet their financial nest eggs on Wall Street, where risk and volatility are pretty much hardwired into every investment. So yes, I think pulling your money from the stock market is wise, and recent events only serve to reinforce that message. As for whether you should yank all your money out now and lock in your recent losses or wait for a rebound, that really depends on how well you know yourself. But I wonder how many people listening to this decided to hold on to their stock market investments after the 2008 crash, and maybe the 2000 crash before that, until they recovered in value and vowed that they would sell them and get out of the market once and for all. But they didn't get out even after the markets rose, and now here they are all over again. But Wall Street's already lost more than 45% of the typical investor's savings twice just in the past decade. What if we were to have two crashes again during the current decade? If you knew that were going to happen, what actions would you take today? Well, you know, Dean, we can't predict the future, but it's important that we also don't forget the past, because we could be partway through a lookout below crash right now. So we all need to take action to protect our family's financial security today. In my view, no time is really the perfect right time to be in the stock market. So if you're inclined to get out now, then do it and just put it behind you once and for all. If you're inclined to wait for a rebound, then at least make a contract with yourself. And I mean literally put it in writing that when you regain a reasonable, specific dollar amount of your recent losses, then you'll sell and get out once and for all.
The fact is, Pamela, most people who have followed your recommendations and successfully unleashed themselves from Wall Street's roller coaster are really happy to be done with it, aren't they?
Absolutely. Keep in mind that the sooner you're out, the sooner you can set course on a secure financial path that will build wealth and provide you with a better lifestyle without all the worry and danger that you've had to accept on Wall Street. after the first 500-plus point drop on the Dow that we recently had, someone on my mailing list who is a Bank on Yourself client wrote to say that 2 years ago this month he started a Bank on Yourself policy, and he basically quit feeding the insatiable Wall Street casino with his hard-earned dollars. But this is a grateful note that he gave me permission to share. He said, as the market went down, I smiled. Not at the anguish so many must have been feeling, but at the joy of knowing that I wasn't being affected this time or ever again. I printed out the headlines on the day that the 512-point plunge on the Dow occurred and included them in my Bank on Yourself portfolio notebook that will serve as a reminder of the best financial decision I've ever made 2 years ago this month. So he has no regrets whatsoever that he's no longer in the market. It's a real relief for him. And those who insist that Wall Street is the only way for individuals to create true wealth are usually the only ones that Wall Street actually makes rich. Those poor people who follow this awful advice often have nothing but heartache and disappointment to show for their loyalty.
Great points. if you're just joining us, you're listening to the Bank on Yourself Money Alert teleconference with Pamela Yellen, the founder and president of Bank on Yourself. I'm Dean Rotbard, managing editor of Bank on Yourself Nation. If at any time during this call you have questions you'd like Pamela to address, either now or in future reports on Bank on Yourself, you can email your questions to safemoneyquestions@gmail.com. That's safemoneyquestions@gmail.com. So Pamela, while Wall Street and our economy are teetering, they're up, they're down, who knows what they're doing, gold prices keep ratcheting up and up and up, hitting record highs. And I think it's fueled really in part by Wall Street refugees who are transferring their accounts from stocks to precious metals. Gold bugs are arguing that the metal still has plenty of upside. And so really the next question is this the time to be buying gold?
Buying gold, in my opinion, is a little like betting big on a horse running in the Kentucky Derby because the odds makers are telling you it's a sure thing. Maybe there is money to be made in gold, but I don't call that investing or savings. I call it gambling. And people who are dependent upon their savings now or who will be in retirement can't afford to wager their wealth on speculative plays such as gold. And gold is a speculative play.
Well, what if you bought gold now and instead of speculating, just held on to it as a long-term investment?
Gold is, and over the past 30-plus years, has been a truly terrible place to put your long-term funds. And I don't expect that to change anytime soon.
That truly surprises me, given that, you know, gold is trading at an all-time high, and you don't have to think that back that many years ago when gold was $300 or $600. So what's the track record?
Well, I wrote an eye-opening column earlier this week, and if you haven't read it yet, you'll find it on my blog at bankonyourself.com. But basically, I point out that gold hit a high in 1980, and then it plunged and did not return to that level again until 2006, a full 26 years later. However, on an inflation-adjusted basis, gold would have to be over $2,500 an ounce today just to have the same purchasing power it did 31 years ago. And in spite of gold's recent meteoric rise, that's still more than $700 an ounce more than where it is right now. And that would just get you even with where you were 31 years ago, let alone a real profit. So imagine if you bought gold at the beginning of your career in 1980, and now you're nearing retirement and planning to cash it in to live the good life. That would be just horrible, really horrible. You would have no profit to show for that.
And there's a tax irony here, too, which is that while inflation has caused the gold prices to go up, and therefore people haven't really made money if you factor in inflation.
Correct.
Yet as far as the tax man is concerned, there are profits to be had there. And as I understand it, taxes on these nominal gold profits make the picture even more dismal, don't they?
Yes, and surprisingly, most people are not aware that you will pay one of the highest federal tax rates on any profits that you might make with gold, whether it's gold coins or bars or an exchange-traded fund that invests in gold. And that's because gold, like silver and other precious metals, is considered to be a collectible, which is taxed at nearly double the rate of stocks and real estate capital gains. So bottom line is that gold provides zero certainty, especially for individual investors hoping to shield their retirement funds from volatility and risk. Chasing rising gold prices during this current bubble, and that's exactly what it is, Dean, it's a bubble, history has proven would be a fool's errand. And let's not forget that the government has already confiscated Americans' gold once in 1933. What's to say they won't do that again?
Kind of a frightening idea.
Absolutely.
So it makes then perfect sense, Pamela, to, you know, move away from Wall Street, keep some distance from gold, but then it raises the question, where should people and their money migrate? And it seems to me that even the type of strategically structured savings plan that you recommend, you know, the kind of plan that's built around a specially designed dividend-paying whole life policy, well, that requires time to implement properly.
Absolutely, and I don't really recommend that anyone just rush headlong into anything without doing their due diligence and so on. But if you're going to take advantage of this opportunity to get out of the market once and for all, it's better to keep your money, at least for the time being, safely in U.S. government bonds or FDIC-insured deposit accounts rather than pulling the trigger too quickly on some other savings or investment vehicle.
Anybody who's been reading the headlines about the S&P downgrade might think that's kind of odd advice. Didn't Standard & Poor's just confirm that government-guaranteed accounts just aren't as safe as we once thought they were?
Well, yes and no. Yes, the S&P downgrade is a wake-up call alerting our leaders in Washington that they had better get serious about reducing our nation's reliance on borrowing. But no, the S&P downgrade doesn't change the fact that the American government remains a safe steward of our cash and liquid accounts. I'll trust my savings any day to Uncle Sam ahead of such AAA countries like Finland, Norway, Luxembourg, or, say, Liechtenstein.
You forgot to mention the Isle of Man. That's another.
And the Isle of Man,
yeah.
Right.
Okay, so I know this one's going to be your favorite question on this teleconference. So tell us how the Bank on Yourself system, the one that you originated, can meet the needs of people who are on the lookout for a viable, safe alternative to Wall Street and precious metals.
Well, Dean, let me start out by letting you know that I, too, am a reformed Wall Street investor. And thinking that the stock market is the place that wealth is created is something that we're all taught from a very early age. I call it brainwashing. We've been very successfully brainwashed by Wall Street to believe that we have to risk our money in order to grow it. And even when our brokerage statements remind us each and every month that things just aren't working out as advertised, it's really very, very difficult for most people, and myself included in the past, to shake the Wall Street mentality. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail on this call about why the Bank on Yourself system has been so successful while never relying on the gambling-type bets promoted by Wall Street and the precious metal marketers, but here is the single most important message I will convey today. Bank on Yourself may not be right for everyone, but it is essential that anyone on this call who has not yet at least discussed the possibility of using a Bank on Yourself plan with one of our authorized advisors should do so now. The investment in knowledge that this would involve costs you absolutely nothing and holds the promise of delivering the kinds of financial results you hoped Wall Street would provide without ever having to resort to putting your nest egg at risk.
I guess one question that we're getting here by email is, how difficult is it to meet with an authorized advisor? And I guess I would add, what kind of strong-arm sales tactics should people on this teleconference be prepared to defend against if they do meet with one?
Well, I would never stand for any kind of strong-arm sales tactics under any circumstances. And in fact, to underscore that point, no authorized bank on yourself financial advisor will ever even ask a potential client to make a commitment of any kind during their first meeting. Our advisors are carefully trained to conduct the kind of substantial investigation required to be certain that the bank on yourself method is the right method for each and every potential client. And the problem is that, you know, even veteran insurance salesmen and financial advisors who haven't received the rigorous training in the bank on yourself system are simply unable to provide their clients with the necessary due diligence to make sure that you're getting all of the available benefits associated with this wealth building program, including all the eligible tax advantages. Because if your plan isn't structured right, it will grow much more slowly, lose the tax advantages, or both.
So for now?
Well, for now, park your cash in safe government-secured accounts and act without delay to connect with one of the Bank on Yourself authorized advisors. The first very simple step is to just go to our website, bankonyourself.com, and click on the button on the side that reads, Request Your Free Analysis. It's free, there's no obligation, and again, to get the ball rolling, just go to bankonyourself.com and click on the button to receive your free analysis. And then hear what the advisor has to say, and then decide for yourself.
Let me remind anyone who just joined us recently, I'm Dean Rotbart. I'm managing editor of Bank on Yourself Nation. And today we're getting valuable insights and advice from Pamela Yellen, a financial security expert. best-selling author, and president of Bank on Yourself. You can email your questions for Pamela to safemoneyquestions@gmail.com. That's safemoneyquestions, plural, at gmail.com. Pamela, we do have an email from Albert L. in Tennessee. Albert writes, I read that the S&P also downgraded the outlook for most major U.S. insurance companies. Is that true? And if it is, won't that impact the safety and performance of the kind of policies recommended by Bank on Yourself?
The S&P actually just reaffirmed the ratings of the insurance companies specifically recommended by the Bank on Yourself authorized advisors. They basically have the same rating as the current AA+ rating of the U.S. government. It's a little hard to argue that an insurance company that operates primarily in the United States should have a higher credit rating than the country does. But the reason that the S&P downgraded the outlook on life insurers is that some companies hold up to 10 to 15% of their portfolio in treasuries, and that's not the case of the companies used by the Bank on Yourself advisors, which have only a percent or two in treasuries. But S&P painted all the companies with the same broad brush. And let's not forget that the S&P, they're the same folks who brought us the housing crisis. Virtually all of the bonds that went under during the housing bubble were highly rated by S&P. I really don't know how much credence we should even put into them right now. The thing to keep in mind, Dean, is that your money needs to live somewhere. It needs to reside somewhere. That could be a savings, checking, or money market account. It could be inside or outside of a retirement plan, real estate, precious metals, currency, or commodities. Or you could even stuff it in your mattress. But I know of no better place after researching more than 450 different financial products and strategies to store your money that you need safe and liquid than in a properly structured dividend-paying whole life policy from a top-rated company. And I can give you three reasons for that. Number one, you're going to get a substantially higher return than you would get in the savings, money market account, or CD without taking on more risk. Number two, life insurance companies are legally required to invest their portfolio very conservatively in order to be able to deliver on the promises that it makes to its policy owners. And unlike banks, which can loan out every dollar on deposit 10 times and right before the crisis, they figured out a way to loan out every dollar third times. Life insurance companies cannot legally do that. They do not do that. And number three is that there is a five-layer safety net for life insurance companies, and if you want to know the details of that, you can find them on bankonyourself.com.
So how many times the kind of insurance companies that are used by Bank on Yourself authorized advisors, how many times, let's say, over the last 100 years have they failed to deliver as promised?
The advice I give to people who want the answer to that question is a little experiment. Go online and Google, how many people have lost money in the stock market? Then go online and Google, how many people have lost money in real estate? Then Google, how many people have lost money in commodities? How many people have lost money in currencies? And then Google, how many people have, of course you want to know how many people have lost money in banks too, but then you want to Google how many people have lost money in a dividend-paying whole life insurance policy. You will be shocked. It is, you will be hard-pressed to find virtually anyone in the history. There's a case or two of that having happened. But
I take it not with the companies that you use.
No. They've been in business for well over 100 years. They've paid a dividend every single year for more than 100 years. And let's not forget that during the Great Depression, more than 10,000 banks went under.
And I think that's the key point. I mean, we're seeing a lot of turbulent economic times right now. Nothing, thankfully, compared to the Great Depression. And even through the Great Depression, the kinds of companies that Bank on Yourself, the method looks to for their policies are companies that even rode out the Great Depression without missing their promised payments.
Right. Absolutely.
Interesting. Hey, I've got a few questions here from listeners asking what you think can be done to get our political leaders to just stop their bickering and get our nation's fiscal house in order. What are your thoughts?
Well, I wish I were wise and smart enough to have the correct solution for that. But what I can say with certainty is that none of us need to wait and complain, thinking that we can't make important individual contributions to fixing many of our country's most vexing economic problems. And as you and I wrote together in this month's cover story on bankonyourself.com, the road back to American fiscal strength and renewed exceptionalism begins at our own doorstep. For starters, we have to get our own accounts and affairs in order. Then we can turn our attentions to our immediate neighbors and communities. There are five specific goals that we recommend that every American can and should accomplish to help restore our nation's financial vitality. Briefly, these are: number one, eliminate your own personal debt and deficit spending. Number two, establish and build your own private accounts so that you'll fare well even without Social Security, Medicare, and other failing government entitlement programs. Number three, stay employed, and if you're unemployed, become an entrepreneur. Number four, get and stay healthy. Wellness is the best and safest investment available to any of us. And finally, number five, complete the first four recommendations that I just made so successfully that you can help create work or actually generate a job for a neighbor or community member. We've gone into detail on each of these steps. If for anyone who would like to see that, they can see it at bankonyourself.com by just clicking on Cover Story at the top of the home page. That's click on Cover Story at the top of the home page on bankonyourself.com.
Thank you, Pamela. And I promised at the start of this teleconference that I'd share with our audience a few details about Bank on Yourself Nation, where I'm spending a lot of my time. It's our new online resource, and it's going to be available to the public soon. The site's your idea. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, Bank on Yourself Nation is unlike any personal finance and lifestyle resource in existence. I like to compare it to a fabulous travel guide, chock full of expert insights and tips you won't find anywhere else. Only all the destinations on Bank on Yourself Nation relate to life goals like wealth building, retirement savings, college funding, and financing purchases. To help members reach their goals, Nation offers turn-by-turn, easy-to-follow instructions and an entire community of experts and peers to help subscribers advance along their path to success. But, Dean, there's one thing that you won't find at bankonyourself.nation.
What's that?
You will not find the same old conventional financial wisdom that has failed so many Americans.
Sounds great. When will you unlock the doors to Bank on Yourself Nation and let the public enter?
Well, we're putting the final pieces in place at this very moment, so it's not going to be too much longer.
And meanwhile?
Anyone who wants to be sure to become a charter subscriber to Bank on Yourself Nation should go to our Bank on Yourself Facebook page and like us. And as soon as we're ready, you'll be the first to know.
You're very likable, so go to the Bank on Yourself Facebook page, like the page, and then people listening will be sure to be alerted when Bank on Yourself Nation is open to the public, and they'll also be entitled to a charter subscriber rate. So remember, go to Bank on Yourself on Facebook and like the page. That seems easy enough.
Oh, and one other thought, Dean, and that is that they also should go to bankonyourself.com and make sure to get, if they're not already receiving our monthly newsletter and email list, they should definitely be on that list. There's a free report there as well. Just go to bankonyourself.com and in the right-hand side, click on the button that says download your free report. That will get you onto the e-zine list, and then you'll be getting all of the updates.
Sounds great. And I know there are we still have some questions that have come in we haven't been able to get to on this teleconference, but I would encourage anybody who's listening to remember that they can email Pamela even after the call at safemoneyquestions@gmail.com. Again, safemoneyquestions@gmail.com. And although Pamela is swamped these days with requests for help and may not be able to personally reply to each of these questions, me, other members of her team will all review any question we get and reply to as many as possible, probably in upcoming articles and teleconferences. And also know that an audio recording of this teleconference will be made available soon on bankonyourself.com. So if you'd like to hear it again, if there was some part of what Pamela was saying that you particularly want to listen to, you'll be able to pick it up on the audio, and we encourage you to recommend this conversation to family and friends who might benefit from it. So on behalf of Pamela Yellen and the entire Bank on Yourself team, I'm Dean Rothbart. Thank you for listening.